Hey, it's Nikki Llewellyn Gregory, and you're on Gut Plus Science. You're in for a fast-paced, storytelling, action item-rich leadership growth experience. I hope you make this podcast a habit. I consider it a leadership mentoring tool. Learning together makes us better together, and that is how we change the world around us. Let's get to it. Hey, Gut Plus Science listeners, it's Nikki, and today's episode is a special series with my friend Renee Smith. It's called To Work With Love. I believe that loving leaders transform workplaces and create work experiences that are meaning-filled. Renee fights against fear-based leadership and helps us learn how to lead with love and do it in such an empowering way. You're going to love this episode. Renee, take it away.
Hi, this is Renee from A Human Workplace, the host of To Work With Love. It's great to be here with you today. This is a podcast series that makes the case for putting love at the center of work. And, you know, I'm a social scientist, and in 7 years of research interviews, I've learned so much about love and fear at work and have become convinced that more loving and human workplaces are good for people and for teams and for results, too. So I know that by cultivating a loving way of working, where everyone has the opportunity to find joy and satisfaction and belonging and contribution and meaning and success, that things go better. Like, we can create that kind of way of working. In such a loving workplace, we are committed to everyone thriving. And this need for thriving right now is so huge, so great, so important that I've committed most of 2024 to this topic. And our team has committed resources to developing solutions related to thriving. Now, when I talk about thriving, I don't mean sort of your typical wellness or resilience practices, although we think those are important too, and we do help support those. But when I'm talking about thriving, I'm talking about moving away from wasteful, frustrating, harmful operations and toward experiences that are more courageous and clear and whole and spacious and simple and hopeful. We want to move toward those kinds of experiences as people. And we think that people are longing for those kinds of experiences. And so today we're going to talk about clarity. I'm going to talk with you about clarity in particular. We've talked about sort of what we mean by thriving in a previous podcast, and we've talked about getting ready to thrive, and last time about courage. And this time we're going to talk about clarity. So if you haven't heard those others, go back and listen to those when we're done with this one and get caught up. So we want to talk about how to bring clarity to your workplace and why it's so important. So I want you first to imagine that you're part of a group of people who are on an expedition together. You are super excited to be on this trip, but you're not really certain where you're headed or what the plan is. But you love the valley that you're in. You're fascinated by the terrain around you and the different topography that you've been camping in, and you decide you're going to use your special skills as a map maker to walk around the valley, hike around, and map out the terrain. And that's going to be your contribution to this team. And so you get up really early in the morning and you take off with all your mapping tools and you start hiking around. It's a beautiful day and you're making a map of this beautiful valley. Meanwhile, the rest of your team is waking up and they're excited to get going because they're committed to getting to the top of a nearby mountain so that they can view this rare plant that only views a couple of days a year. And so they're super urgent to do this. They're urgent to pack up and get going. But when the team discovers that you're gone and they don't know where you are, they can't go on without you. And so they're delayed. And while you're out happily making maps of the valley topography, and thinking about your contribution, they are getting more anxious and frustrated. You return with your map and you're ready to share it and show your beautiful work. And you discover that your entire team is furious with you for wandering off and wasting their time and delaying progress to the goal. But of course, it was a goal that you didn't know anything about. And you can imagine hearing from them, "There you are. Where did you go? Why did you wander off like that? We are all waiting to get on with things. Yet this map, this isn't of no use to us. What's the point when we're supposed to be getting to the top of that mountain over there where the plant is going to bloom and to try to see it while we can?" And you can imagine, and maybe even feel, you know, putting yourself in this role, as I put you in this role, you can imagine the stress and fear and anxiety that you would feel because you had no idea, right? You didn't have clarity on several levels. You didn't have clarity about what the purpose was overall. You didn't have clarity about what your role was, what you were supposed to contribute. You didn't have clarity about how the team was going to work together. And so this story illustrates those three important components of clarity, roles, and team agreements that we're going to talk about today when it comes to clarity as part of this invitation to thrive. So we're going to look at those one by one. So first of all, we need to create organizational clarity through a clear purpose and goals. Now, purpose isn't just sort of a feel-good mission, but really a clear purpose helps ground our decisions and our activities and points us in a clear direction. With purpose clarity, my first decision might be, should I even join this team? Do I believe in this purpose? Is it aligned with my values? Do I want to spend my time and life energy in service of this purpose and these goals? And if the answer is yes, then the next benefit of a clear purpose is to really orient us in setting our collective direction. So with a clear purpose, each team or division can tie their work to that purpose and have a line of sight from how they contribute to the outcomes that the organization is trying to achieve. And, you know, it turns out that this clear purpose is really important for virtual work. So there are some researchers, Lee and Kim, who looked at the three types of interpersonal collaborations that take place. They looked at horizontal peer-to-peer collaboration, and they looked at vertical collaboration between levels of hierarchy, and they looked at cross-unit collaboration between teams. And while they found that virtual work does decrease all of these types of collaboration, that if the organization has goal clarity, that can play an important role in actually improving interpersonal collaboration for virtual work. So if right now you are struggling with collaboration on your virtual teams, and frankly, who is not? Who has a virtual team that is not struggling with that? So if you're struggling with that too, like probably everyone else, then consider spending some time clarifying your organizational purpose or your team purpose and your goals. And that should help your teams to work better together and have more confidence in their work. So the next kind of clarity I want to highlight is role clarity. So once an organization is clear and committed to its shared purpose, team members need to know the work that needs to be done and who's going to do that work. Each person deserves to have clarity on their specific responsibilities, on their quality standards, on what their deliverables are, on what the timeline expectations are, on their targets for productivity and how they're expected to communicate and coordinate and so on. All of the aspects of their role needs to be clear. And working without this clarity is confusing and frankly unkind. But having that clarity helps folks perform confidently and frankly have just a deeper sense of well-being. It's amazing how this kind of clarity about what I'm supposed to do day to day diminishes fear and contributes to love and well-being. So one dynamic that we've discovered working in our team is that people can have different preferences for clarity or different sort of ideas and standards of what good clarity looks like. So we aren't all calibrated the same way when it comes to our sense of what is clear, what is good and clear. And I've really come to appreciate that those clarity standards need to be a good match for the phase that the team is in. Because different levels and types of clarity are possible in different phases of a team's development. So in the beginning on a new team or in a new organization or business, our work is to create fundamental clarity because we're just getting started. And then later, as we move on, we need to press in and refine and deepen and improve our clarity. People who need a high degree of clarity and structure may struggle in a new team or startup in the beginning while those roles and even processes are getting defined. But on the other hand, as we found, an organization kind of can't stay loosey-goosey with their clarity for too long. And those who have that greater need for clarity can help to pull those of us who are more comfortable with ambiguity along and tug us in a direction that helps us to mature as an organization. And honestly, this is sometimes what I have struggled with as a leader and a founder, who happens to be extremely comfortable with ambiguity and with kind of creating what we need as we go along and with working in the unknown. And that's all great as we're getting started and beginning something. But my sense of what's needed by others in terms of clear structure isn't very strong. I'm just not very attuned to that. I know this now after having team members say to me, hello, what is my role? What are my expectations? And I would think, well, we've talked about that, like that, we have that in place, don't we? But they are, you know, ready for more. The bit that I could give them in the beginning was fine to start, but now like we have to give them more. And I know that, frankly, I need help with this. I need help from other team members who are better at defining that clarity. I just don't do this naturally. So together, we work to make sure that this is happening and that we're advancing our clarity. And I think, you know, one of the big takeaways that I would offer from that is, as leaders, we don't need to do it all, but we do need to make sure that it's all happening. So for many people, there's what I call this sweet spot that is described by researchers Park and Choi in their research on feedback and goal clarity and performance. And they found something really interesting. They found that performance feedback, when coupled with performance clarity and a healthy level of employee autonomy, that those coming together can significantly contribute to improve individual performance and organizational effectiveness. So goal clarity with autonomy equals better performance. And they found that employees who have greater control over their work and clear performance goals can leverage those to improve their performance on their own. So similarly, Vanderhoek, Grunwald, and Quippers found that empowered self-managed teams that made the effort to clarify team goals had significant improvements in team performance, effectiveness, and efficiency. So this kind of leads us to thinking about and want to talk now about our third big opportunity to create clarity, which is clarity for teams by setting up working agreements as a team. So we can know where we're going as an organization. We can know what each person is going to do. But if we don't know our particular objectives as a team and how we're going to work together, we can really run into trouble. Work can get derailed. Time and energy can be wasted on unnecessary conflicts and confusion about how things are going to get done. Things can just go sideways. And so at a human workplace, we recommend pausing at the beginning of any team or, you know, forming or any project that's going to begin to invest time to set up these working agreements. So you can use a simple charter or a team agreements canvas or some other tool like that. The tool itself isn't that important, but what's really important is having the conversations and agreeing on and documenting those decisions. And you want to make decisions about and clarify the group's objective. So what are you there to do? And it's amazing how at the beginning of a project, like we can all think that, oh, we all receive the same email or the same invitation, and we're coming together to do something. But really, our sense of what that objective is can be vastly different. And so clarifying that and nailing it down is important as a beginning place. And then with that objective clear, what are our roles? How are we going to communicate? How are we going to make decisions? How are we going to resolve conflict? What is our timeline? And then how do we know we succeed? How are we going to measure our success? And what does success look like? So over time, we have found that this agreement process is going to become natural. It'll flow. And there'll be some things that sort of become the way that you do things. And importantly, this process and going through it with, you know, a fair amount of rigor each time will provide the opportunity to question those assumptions too, because we may realize and decide that this time, for this project, maybe our decision-making needs to be done slightly differently, or maybe the way we're going to communicate because of the composition of our team is going to be different. So we can't just assume that the way we did it for the last four or five times is going to be the way that we do it this time. We need to have those conversations and then document those decisions. All right. So remember, to improve thriving work, we need to bring more clarity. Clarity is super important. Organizational clarity through clear purpose and goals, individual clarity through clear roles, and team clarity through clear team agreements. So how about you? What's calling to you from all of that? What have I described that you might be going, oh, yeah, we might be like, I might not have done that before quite in that rigorous a way, or, oh, we've done that, but maybe I've kind of let that slide. And so where can you, as a loving leader who wants to create a place where people thrive, what might you do next to improve clarity with your team and your organization? Now, before I close, there's one other kind of clarity that I want to share about, and that's personal clarity. And this is close to my heart right now, as I'm in the middle of a three-week trip to deepen my own personal clarity. If you watched before, you might wonder, where is Renee? Like, that's not her office. And you're right. I'm not in my office. I am in the office of my friend Simon Phillips, who lives in Lawn, Wales. And I have taken time off and traveled to the other side of the world. I'm taking time to see people I care about and people who are important members of my team and important partners, taking time to have some crucial conversations that are growing my personal clarity. And I'm taking time to spend time alone to get quiet and to listen and to sense and reflect in ways that only happen when I'm away from home. So my friend's given me his office and I'm, you know, staying in their home and just have quiet time to think and to reflect and to be in dialogue too. So my time in Switzerland and England and Wales and Spain, seeing friends and colleagues, but also alone, is proving to be invaluable to me right now in gaining the clarity that I need to lead a human workplace and frankly, to, you know, lead my life. Now, I know I'm privileged to do this. You know, not everyone can just like, you know, take 3 weeks off and go to the other side of the world. And I want to name that it's also a sacrificial investment, too, of time and resources. But I chose to make that sacrifice and to make that investment because the clarity that I need is essential. So what about you? Do you need to take an afternoon, a weekend, or perhaps a bit longer to gain more personal clarity as a leader or as a change maker? Our loving leadership really depends on us holding our lives with love, our own lives with love and compassion. And so I hope that you'll consider the love that you need to thrive too. Thank you for listening today. I hope that you found this episode valuable and maybe that you would share it with a team member or a colleague or your whole team. And if you could, give us a shout out on social media. Together, we can amplify this message of love and of making work more loving and human. I want you to be sure to check out those previous episodes in the series. You can find them on our website at makeworkmorehuman.com. And if you're curious to learn more about how your team is doing on the 6 Thrive factors, you can take our Thrive assessment, which is linked in the show notes. And if you want to talk about your Thrive scores, please reach out. You can schedule a time with me or with one of the members of my team. No obligation, just an hour together to explore those results and to see what they might mean to you. Until next time, trust your instincts to be more loving and human because it's time to work with love.
We just left the world a little bit better. Now, go do something with it.